My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 5th of October 2009 and the time is 4:15 in the morning. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age and where you've come from today?
Rose Harkin. I've recently turned 50 and I'm from just outside Glasgow in Scotland.
How long have you lived in Glasgow for?
I've lived there for 21 years and then I spent 10 years living in various places in England and then moved back to Glasgow in 1993.
And what do you think of the city?
I love the city. So I wouldn't like to live in a big city like Glasgow or London or wherever, but...
Why not?
I prefer the quieter kind of... I live in a village that's like 10 miles away from a big town, so it's nice to be... It's near enough to get in and far enough to get out, so I wouldn't like to be kind of in the middle of a town or city.
What are the benefits of living in a village?
Benefits? For me, I don't know...
Just on a personal
that many,
level?
Yeah, I don't know that many like of my neighbours and things. I tend to, as I say, have bed and breakfast in my own house, you know. I go home, make my dinner, you know, do whatever, get up in the morning, go to work, come back. So I don't know a lot of, although I've been 13 years, I probably know 30 people maybe in the whole of the village. But for me, it's an escape. You know, it's a nice drive. It's a nice drive home. It's near enough. My friends are still about Paisley, and it's near enough to get into Paisley, but far enough to get out after the end of, you know, a long day, long week, or whatever. So that's the benefits for me.
And whereabouts have you lived in England then?
I lived for about 10 years in Liverpool. I worked there for a while, and then I moved to Coventry. I worked in the cathedral there. So I did, and then I moved back up to Scotland when I was made redundant, and I thought I was looking for somewhere to go, and like that, because I thought I don't want to live in a big city. Then I thought, well, I loved Liverpool. It was kind of second home after Glasgow, but I knew I couldn't afford to live in Liverpool and anywhere kind of that I would have felt safe. I was on my own, didn't want to move and live in, you know, inner city or whatever, in Liverpool or London or anywhere else. So moved back home, you know, in with mum, and thought, thanks mum, you know, she's now gone as well. But, you know, moved back in with her, got a job, got my own house and moved on from there.
Did you find there was any difference at all between living in Scotland and England?
I think probably the weather's maybe the big difference, you know. I came with an umbrella today because you don't tend to leave the house without an umbrella. And the guy, when he was there, I said, that's the standard umbrella that you carry about Glasgow most days, you know.
And what was your childhood like growing up in Scotland?
Childhood, I was one of five, second oldest of five. Mum and Dad were both Irish, both first generation Irish. Dad came over when he was about 16, 17. And Mum's whole family moved over when she was four. So quite a close, quite a big extended family. All of Mum's family were around Paisley. Dad's family were still in Ireland. So we had kind of the best of both. So we used to kind of go back there for holidays and things.
Are you still close with your siblings?
Yeah, still very close, yeah. Two of my brothers live quite near me. And I've got one brother here with me today in London. And I have a sister in Norfolk who just happens to run a pub. So it just happens to be convenient to go for holidays and things like that. You know, there are worse ways of spending holidays than in a pub in Norfolk, I have to say. So.
Was there any responsibility, you being the second oldest child, in helping to raise any of the other brothers and sisters?
Definitely. Because my brother, he's a year older than me, but there was this kind of thing that I remember one night going out to, it was a party or whatever we had gone, and not being back when we were supposed to be back and getting into kind of serious trouble and saying, but he was there as well. And the answer was, well, you should have had more sense, but he's older than me, but you should have had. So somehow the girls were meant to, and I think it was a thing of the time as well, you know, Irish and whatever, then the girls, you know, we were meant to have more sense, you know.
Did your family have a religious background at all?
Catholic, Irish Catholic family.
Do you follow any religion at the moment?
I still attend church, still practicing Catholic.
What part does that play in your life?
Not as much now as it did in the past. I'm very much a kind of Saturday night, Sunday night Catholic, because it's the only time now I would go, and I find Sunday mornings are just full of children and you know, they're up and down and they're back with their pictures, and you just think, oh, give me peace, you know. So I tend to avoid it when I can.
And you just mentioned turning 50. Has that altered your view of life at all?
I think, to me, it was just one big joke. It came up just before the Easter holidays, and I had met up with like loads of different friends at different times, and obviously a lot of us that went to school together, all their birthdays are kind of coming up. I'm just kind of like laughing. It just seems so funny. I just so don't feel 50. My dad was 56 when he died. You know, 50 to me was old, and now suddenly I'm supposed to be old. And I think it just seems a bit funny, you know. And I have a friend who's got a twin brother, and they were 50 last week, you know. So they were looking for half a telegram from the Queen each and things, but they never got it, didn't come. You know, so it's been quite... And that was kind of why I applied for this as well, was talking to my friends, and, you know, we were looking at it, and I thought, well, I could never do that, and, oh, that's a nightmare, and all of that, and trying to figure out what would we do, and I thought, I don't know. And then I said to them one day, I'm going to apply for that, and they were going, so you will, yes, yeah, so you will, yeah, you know. I thought, right, watch this, filled in the application form and sent it off, and then got an email saying, sorry, you've not been successful. And I thought, oh, what a shame. But at least I applied for it, you know, big me. And then got the one saying, you've been accepted, and thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? Do you know? So that was part of, you know, it was like, I'm 50, I can do what I like type, you know, reckless kind of stone cold sober, I have to say as well. There wasn't even a glass of wine involved in it, stone cold sober. I can do what I like, and I did. And then they called my bluff, because the other thing is, I never win raffles. I never win anything. Do you know, if I bought the only raffle ticket, I keep saying it would rip, and they pulled it out of the drum, it would rip in half. So I was not expecting at all to get a spot, and thinking, well, at least I can say I applied for it.
So,
and now I'm here.
So how are you feeling at this moment in time then?
It's just surreal. You know, it's totally surreal. I come from, I don't know, where are you from? Can I ask the question?
I'm from Kent.
From Kent, right. I'm from originally Fergusley Park, which when I went to school, and then even when I went to college, was the third biggest deprived area in Europe. So you kind of think, a child from Fergusley on a plinth in Trafalgar Square, does it get any dafter? And I am so not artistic in any shape or form. You know, don't dance, don't dance, don't draw, don't sew, don't, you know, knit, crochet, bake, nothing. You know, I'm just so the last person that would be part of an arts project. I find it quite surreal.
So what would you like to gain from your experience on the plinth then?
I think for me it's a kind of confidence thing. You know, I can do that, I've done that. You know, just that whole kind of, to me it was so daft that I had to do it. You know, having given the chance, going into work and people saying, you know, you've got to do it. You know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, you know, and it's not something I would normally do. I don't even like getting my photographs taken normally, never mind streamed live on, you know. And I think, why am I doing this? And I think, because you can, you know. That's kind of why I'm doing it.
And what are you going to be doing with your hour on the plinth then?
With my hour on the plinth, over the kind of, you know, getting over the initial shock of, oh my God, I've got a place, I kind of thought, well, who's likely to be about, or what should I do? And I thought, well, homeless people, rough sleepers, and I was kind of looking at that. I also, last, 2006, my aunt, I have an aunt who stays in Paisley, who's my mother's sister, and they had been back to Fermanagh, where they were born, and they had her father, like my mum's father, had been evicted from the family farm when he was 7 years of age. His father died, and his mother and the four children were evicted because they couldn't pay the rent. So I was kind of thinking of, you know, him, and I had looked into kind of like homeless and things, and saw stuff about, you know, children and families who live in temporary accommodation, and how they're more likely to, you know, not do well at school because there's no study space, there's no, you know, recreational space, they're more likely to have accidents because they're going to be cooking in the one room, or toys, you know, falling over toys and all of that. So I thought, well, if I can use it as an opportunity to maybe raise some money for homeless individuals or families, then it would be quite nice. So I had set up a website just to kind of put together my ideas and things, focused on kind of homelessness. And what I saw is the kind of four main things that prevent any of us, that stand between any of us, I think, and homelessness. And that to me was family. You know, I say when I was made redundant and lost my job in Coventry, I had accommodation with the job, so I lost my job and my house in that one day. You know, so then moving back home, you know, if I hadn't had home to go back to, I could have been, you know, homeless as well. So I kind of thought family stands between, you know, it stood between me and homelessness at that time. Friends, I think, is the other thing. You know, family, friends. Excuse me, I think employment, obviously. You know, people lose their jobs, homes are repossessed, and, you know, and then health. I thought, you know, physical and mental health is another issue that was kind of relevant to homelessness. And I also knew that this week was National Mental Health Week, or certainly in Scotland, I don't know if it's the same down here. So it seemed to kind of tie in quite nicely, and it all kind of fitted together. So I put stuff on my website about, you know, just very brief about each of the four, what I saw key factors in homelessness and why people become homeless.
So have you always been interested in sort of charitable causes, or is it just this particular cause that really sort of interests you?
I think a kind of mixture of both. I've always been quite kind of socially aware. I wouldn't say I'm as active as I probably could or should be. But then when you work full time and things like that, you know, you kind of, that becomes your excuse then for not doing things, you know. So
what makes you socially aware? So would you mind just expanding on that point?
I think because certainly the area I work in, and even some of my own family, friends and things, quite aware of people living kind of on or below the breadline. A lot of families I deal with, children would be, you know, maybe second generation unemployed, and you know, I know the feeling of, you know, not having money the day before, you know, payday or family allowance day or, you know, gyro day. I kind of still see people that is, you know, their reality, and I'm quite aware of that. You know, sometimes I think we can forget and say, well, you know, bring in money, say, on Tuesday, and forget sometimes that children maybe don't have money until, you know, Wednesday, or sometimes it's an issue even for children getting to school. I've seen children maybe not coming to school because they don't have bus fares. You know, it's maybe too far to walk, and, you know, mum, dad, family don't have the bus fares because they wouldn't get their money till the next day, or, you know, people are paid monthly, or, you know, a couple of days running up to. So I'm still quite aware of that, and aware that I'm lucky in having, you know, a full-time, reasonably well-paid job that allows me to have, you know, money the day before payday.
And just outside the plinth, what other interests do you have?
Not that many, to be honest. I tend to kind of go to work. I spend quite a bit of time on the computer, you know, quite often playing games and things. Usually with I'm not too keen on kind of random, but I have quite a close friend, and sometimes we play kind of, well, she's in her house, I'm in mine, and we play card games online, and sometimes with my sister in Norfolk. I find that quite surreal that she can be in Norfolk, I can be in, you know, Kilmacombe, and we can be playing crib, you know, and chatting to each other at the same time. And I can just about understand the kind of random bit of the internet, you know, where you can play with perfect strangers from, you know, America and stuff, but to be so specific that it can pinpoint, you know, my sister in Norfolk and link us up, I find quite fascinating. So between the computer and the usual household things and shopping and cooking and cleaning, then I don't have a lot of time for a lot of other interests.
What's important in your life then?
I think family and friends is probably the most important.
You mentioned computers, have you always, and websites, have you always been interested in that sort of area?
I've been interested in it. This is the first time I've ever created a website. I have absolutely no idea at all. I mean, I can go online and I can, you know, Google stuff, and I can, you know, play cat. I can look up different things, but I had never actually created a website. So I thought, well, if you want a website, then you're going to have to do it. I know a number of people through work who could have done it, but I was doing it in the evenings and at weekends and things, so it was that bit more difficult. So I thought, right, okay, we'll just have a. So it took me maybe the best part of 3 weeks to do something that would probably have taken somebody, you know, 2 hours maybe. But having said that, I really enjoyed the experience. You know, it was quite a good time. Oh, I can, you know, as I get up something else, I thought, I can do this, you know. I've done my own website, which I believe 10-year-olds probably do quite frequently, you know. So
have you been following the Fourth Plinth Project then?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I was. This is the first year when I turned 50. I had normally my job. I would be working through the year, and I would have 28 days annual leave. But as my kind of birthday present to myself, I thought I'm going to ask if I can go term time, which means then I get all the school holidays, but still get paid slightly less, but get paid over the summer. So I've got 7 weeks where I'm not working, but still being paid. So a couple of friends and I were kind of. I think it was one day we'd seen it on the news. I thought that looks quite good, and then I said, being enough like computer savvy to know that I could look it up, found it on, you know, the website, and we were following kind of different people and having a kind of discussions about, you know, I don't know what I would do and all of that. So that's kind of how I got involved, and I say I applied for a joke. So
I'm just going to ask if I can. It's a bit of a hard question. Can you try and paint a picture of yourself generally at this moment of time in your life?
Oh, that is quite a bit of a hard question, yeah. I think probably fairly ordinary, average, you know, mundane. I say, you get up in the morning, you get, you know, washed, breakfasted, out to work, you know, home at night, you know, same, you know, kind of dinner, and you know, catch up with friends, and it's the usual, you know, housewifey kind of cooking, cleaning, things like that. I live on my own, so I've probably got a bit more free time in terms of being on, you know, the computer and things like that. But I would say fairly ordinary kind of average, you know, lifestyle.
Thank you.